at St. Martin's are part of our church work. And as I think probably most of you have heard, that Lady Margaret Andrews, who has been to coffee mornings at Barton and now at St. Martin's for years, and she has recently passed away, and it's her funeral on Tuesday, so there is no coffee morning this Tuesday. I've got another funeral on Thursday of a friend, but the finance that you give through direct payment into the bank makes it the accounts much easier, etc. But it does mean that at times when we need some ready cash, we haven't got it unless there's money in the offering. It doesn't happen very often, but now and again it does. Anything else? No, I don't think there's anything else. No, we've already got some, thanks to Bruce, a lot of smaller little leaflets for that big poster. It's exactly the same, but smaller leaflets we can give out nearer the time about the open air service. We have to be careful. We have been given a small grant towards the anniversary service, the Queen's Jubilee, put it that way. But we do also have to pay copyright for the songs that we use, etc. So, but we are surviving, and that's the main thing, isn't it? Right. So over to Richard, please.
Morning.
Morning.
We're going to start with a couple of worship songs. Come people of the risen King and in heavenly armour. The battle belongs to the Lord.
Come on to your heart to sing through the morning.
Let us come to the Lord in prayer. Let us remember that He loves and longs to hear our prayers. Let us pray. Almighty and most powerful God, we come to worship You. We come to say that we love You. We come to thank You for all Your goodness towards us. We want to praise You. We want to give You the glory. We want to serve You. We want to be Your ambassadors in this world. We know, Lord, that there are many things happening in the world today which are not in accordance with Your will. We know, Lord, that where there is terror, where there is violence, where there is war, this is not in accordance with your will. This is not what you have designed for your world. And Lord, we bring to you the situation that is going on now, how Russia are still advancing and attacking your people. Lord, we pray that all war, all terrorism, all fighting of every kind will come to an end. We ask, Lord, that you would give your wisdom to the leaders of the different nations. Not easy for them, Lord, but Lord, you know what is best. You know, Lord, what is required. And so, Lord, would you fill the minds of all who are in authority, that they may desire what you desire, that they may desire peace, harmony, love, love for all people. Lord, we ask that you would help each one of us, that we might stand up for you, that we might serve you faithfully. Lord, we thank you for our own country. We pray for our Queen. We pray for all who serve in government. We pray for all who serve in local government. Again, Lord, they need your guidance. Lord, we pray that you would be with your church throughout the world. And we thank you, Lord, that in many places your church is on the increase. And we praise you for that. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us in our own ways to share the truth of your love with those who do not know you. We pray for our own families and friends. Lord, you know their needs. We pray for Jean Stewart. Lord, it's very hard for him and not easy for Jean. We pray, Lord, that you would meet their needs, that you would be all that they need, especially at this time. We pray for Rita, who's in so much pain. Oh Lord, how we pray that she might know the power of your healing. Lord, we all need your help. We all need your comfort. We all need your support. For you are indeed a wonderful God. And we just want, Lord, to live lives that please you. So, Lord, may we be empty of self. May we be full of the Spirit. And Lord, when we go our own ways, may we go ready to share your love with all who we meet. We thank you for the privilege and the power of prayer. We thank you for answered prayer. We thank you that you never leave us. You never forsake us. You are the light in our life, and we adore you, and we bring our prayers in the wonderful name of our Saviour, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us join together in the family prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for heaven and death. Amen.
Before we carry on, could towards the end have a little prayer for Gary, because he's not having it easy at the moment. He's in so much pain.
Roger, yes, we'll do that.
Okay.
The next song we're going to sing is Before the Throne of God Above.
In Smyrna, to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these are the words of him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life again. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know about the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one is victorious. The one who is victorious will not be hurt at all by the second death. To the church in Pergamum. To the angel of the church in Pergamum write, these are the words of him who has the sharp double-edged sword. I know where you live, where Satan has his throne. Yet you remain true to my name. You did not renounce your faith in me, not even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was put to death in your city where Satan lives. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. There are some among you who hold to the teachings of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin, so that they ate food sacrificed to idols and committed sexual immorality. Likewise, you also have those who hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Repent, therefore, otherwise I will soon come to you and will fight against them with sword and by mouth. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give that person a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives it.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. With you in a sec.
I'm looking forward to
talking amongst yourselves.
One of them.
Be about 10 seconds, sorry. So that's the one, so we're just going to start that one again. Sorry about that.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest praise. Christ the Lord, cornerstone.
it would be easy when we look at what is said about these churches for us to be full of criticism about them. But we have, of course, a lot to learn from them. The church today needs to take a lot of notice of what's happened in these churches that we read about in Revelation. We're going to look at two briefly this morning. That means that we will finish the series the week before the Queen's Jubilee, so that's why I've put two together. So forgive me for that, but that seemed the best way. So first, Smyrna, the crowned church, it's called. This church was not having an easy time. The members were being persecuted, possibly because they refused to compromise and say of what was required of them, and that is, Caesar is Lord. They refused to say it. Smyrna was an important center of the Roman imperial cult. And anyone who refused to acknowledge Caesar as Lord would certainly be excluded from the guilds. And those guilds were very special. The word used for poverty meant complete exclusion from the guilds, which would mean unemployment, it would mean poverty, and it would mean that they would possess absolutely nothing because they were not obeying the requirement of coming and saying, Caesar is Lord. They weren't willing, in other words, to worship Caesar. They did not give in, if I can put it that way. They did not give in because they lived not for all the riches that the Romans thought they could give them, but they lived for eternal values that would never change it. Riches that would never be taken away. And by that, of course, we mean the riches, the life with God that we have as believers. The crown of life that is mentioned is the winner's crown awarded at the annual athletic games. And Smyrna was a key participant in the games. So the promise would be especially meaningful to believers living there. The Lord reinforced this promise given by James, and he assured his people that they had nothing to fear. If they stood fast, they had nothing to fear. Because they trusted God, they were overcomers. They were victors, if you like, not in the athletic race, but in the race of faith. And as overcomers, they had nothing to fear. Even if they were martyred, they would be ushered into glory, wearing crowns. They would never face the awful judgment of the second death, which it said is the lake of fire. it costs, doesn't it, to be a dedicated Christian in some places more than others. At the end time, pressures increase. Persecution will also increase. And God's people, believers, we need to be ready. The world may call us poor Christians, but friends, in God's sight, we are rich. The challenge there is that we cannot compromise our faith. We must not compromise our faith. That's the lesson that we need to learn from the church of Smyrna. And then there's the church at Pergamum. That was called the compromising church. That's dangerous, isn't it, to compromise? Likewise, like their brothers and sisters in Smyrna, the believers in Pergamum had suffered persecution. And one of their men had died for his faith. In spite of the intense sufferings, the church had remained true to God. They had refused to drop incenses on the altar and say, "Caesar is Lord." Oh, they refused to do all that. The Lord's description of himself says, in Revelation 2, verse 12, it would mean surely that he would encourage the people and he would help them to realize that it was more important to stand fast than to give in to the Roman requirements. Despite their courageous stand against persecution, the believers in this church were not faultless. Satan had been able to destroy them by coming and sharing, but he was making inroads in receiving, in being a deceiving serpent, if you like, that's the way they put it. There was a group of compromising people who had infiltrated into the church fellowship, and Jesus hated their doctrines and their practice. The church members allowed others to come and be among them. And that's dangerous, isn't it? People with false doctrines. Why did the bit of ancient history apply to the believers at this church? Because a group of people in the church said, "There is nothing wrong with being friendly to the Romans. What harm is it, them putting a pinch of incense on the altar and affirming loyalty to Caesar?" Antipas is the one who refused, and he is the one that was martyred. He refused to compromise, but others took the easy way out and they cooperated with Rome. It is unlikely that things sacrificed to idols is the same problem that Paul has dealt with, but the accusation here left no room for personal choice. The Lord accused the Christians in this church of sinning, of committing spiritual fornication by saying, not Jesus is Lord, but by saying Caesar is Lord. And of course, the compromise makes them welcome in the Roman guilds and protected them from Roman persecution. But it also cost them their testimony and their faith. And the lesson here it is. The lesson for us today is surely we must not compromise our faith. We must not listen to the word of Satan. He deceives us if we allow him to. You know, it's amazing, even today, how Satan can quickly divide a church by creating among them some of the members with false doctrine. We have in our own country churches that have suffered divisions, some of which have led ultimately to the church's closing. And I can stand here today and say, I know that this has happened. I've seen a lovely church divided by the members and fall. And in the end, it wasn't one side, it was the whole church that collapsed. And that happening in our world and in our country today. So we need to be very careful, don't we? We need to beware of Satan, the devil, if you like, who is at work dividing not only churches, but the devil is also dividing families. Yes, the devil is at work in church families, but also in our own families. I expect most of us here know of families that have been divided. That's Satan's work, my friend. With no room for compromise. And so what we need to do is we need to stand together. We need to block the work of the devil. And we need to say, Jesus, you will reign in our churches. Jesus, we want you to reign in our families. And that is essential. Too many people do not consider that they need worry about the devil. But I could take you on a little tour that would show you just what the devil is doing in some churches today. And you know, it broke my heart when someone wanted to come and help us in one of our churches. And we found out that they believed the Spirit wasn't available to people today. They also believed that women could not be in any form of leadership. It's sad. But it's going on in the churches today. And people are coming in and getting used by Satan. We've got to make sure that there is no compromise in our church, in all churches. But stand fast and let Jesus reign. Amen. Now, as a request for prayer, so just like to bring a couple of items in prayer. Lord, we do pray for Graham's brother, Gary. he is not at all well. If he was, Lord, we know that he'd be up and out. But Lord, he seems to be on his own, in pain. We pray, Lord, that he might know your healing, that he might know your companionship. We pray, Lord, that you would see him through this very difficult time. We also pray, Lord, for Graham, who on Wednesday will be going to Marsh Barton for the cataract problem, and pray that you would be with him. Lord, we pray for the family of those two that have died recently, Margaret Andrews and Andy Paver. Be with their families at this time of sadness. And Lord, we know that you love us, and we bring each other to you in prayer now, and our families. Richard, Jilly, Robert, Eunice, Brian, Graham, Jean and Stuart, Sarah, and myself. Oh Lord, we thank you that you love us. We thank you that you want the best for us. And Lord, we just want to walk with you each and every day and know your comfort, your guidance, and your companionship. Lord, hear our prayer, for we bring it in Jesus' lovely name. Amen.
Well, the last song is what a friend we have in Jesus, and I do hope you're blessed by the arrangement that I've come up with for this one.
Darling man, oh,
Right, let us stand and share the grace. The grace
of our Lord Jesus Christ,
and the love of God,
and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all, evermore.
Amen.
Hallelujah.